song.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live.
Tonight, we are going to witness the most anticipated match in the history of professional wrestling.
And this is the main event of the evening.
Please welcome your host for today.
Jason is here.
Dude, I swear to God, I'm not as big an asshole as it sounds like.
Troy is here. Hey, I call them like I see them, all right? Sal is here. And I'm here.
Well, look at it this way. It's the first thing we've done together as a team.
I grab my dick, you grab your dick, you work my arm, I work your arm. Same time. It's like jerking off together, but not gay. We're not touching dicks. Each other's dicks, anyway. I'm touching my own dick. But you're working it, and I'm loving it.
Well, enough is enough, and it's time for
The Rundown.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Rundown. I felt like trying to be like a YouTube influencer this week. I don't know why. This is the Rundown Wrestling Podcast. My name is Adam. I'm your host. Sal is here. What's up, buddy?
Like, share, subscribe.
Click the button down below and ring that notification bell.
Funny story, actually. I respect a lot of YouTubers. Like, some of them are so, so creative. But the ones that kind of gimmick the personality to that, like, car show salesman-ish vibe, no. That's not the type of energy I'm going for.
That's fair. So my kid and I almost, we canceled cable, both because I was literally at this point only using it to watch wrestling and record things on the DVR that I would never watch. So we got rid of cable and dropped just to internet.
What about the socks?
Sacrifices were made.
Because
my kid has just been watching YouTube, and my kid there's a couple of Pokemon channels that he watches that I don't mind, and then there's some other ones where I'm just like, this guy is annoying as fuck, and well, I wish you would stop watching him. But it's like M and J plays, and then they each have their own channel too, and it's like, I think it's like Michael and Joseph. That's the M and J. But
so that's the thing, right? Like, I feel like video game content creators do it much better on Twitch, and YouTube is great for like other things, but like, I don't know. There's only a handful of video game YouTubers that I actually enjoy watching, and that would be The Completionist, because he's great, and sometimes Gerard. AVGN.
I don't know what that is.
Angry Video Game Nerd.
I know what AVN is, but the thing about the YouTube videos is they can be edited to remove all the grindy bits. And I feel like at least Pokemon specifically is a lot of grindy bits. Like I'll watch streamers play Pokemon. I don't give a shit. But a lot of that is just, all right, we're gonna run around in this field for the next 20 minutes and just fight randos so that we can level up our squad. I'm like, okay.
No. You're posting that. No, edit that shit down.
But I'm saying on Twitch. If you're watching them play the game, that's what they're going to be doing on the game. Or riding a bike in circles for 45 minutes to hatch an egg. You know.
See, that's why it takes a lot of commitment to watch a JRPG streamer.
That's also true.
And there's only a handful of those that are entertaining enough that I don't care what's going on in the game. Right. Actually, speaking of Twitch, when I turned on Twitch tonight, I was kind of surprised. There is a channel right now that has 124,000 viewers, and that would be the NFL football game.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, see, this is going to tell like a lot of other leagues that this type of format is where the money's at.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if you see more live sports.
I'd watch a soccer game on Twitch. I don't know issues with that.
They're this close to putting it on Hulu.
I mean, for fuck's
sake, they have live sports.
For fuck's sake, I couldn't watch the ones that were on Apple TV Plus this year, so.
I thought that's what they were for.
Because I couldn't fucking figure out my login or whatever.
Oh, don't even get me started. Anyway, how are you, sir?
So I wasn't on last week, and I don't remember why. I was probably fucking tired or some shit. Or busy.
You didn't watch anything.
That's what it was. I didn't watch shit last week.
It was like Thursday morning. You were like, what's WWE? Never mind. Just skip the show.
That's what it was, yeah. I watched SmackDown. But Monday night is quote unquote date night, so I don't get to watch Raw on Monday. And then my schedule has been such the last 2 weeks that it was work Sunday, off Monday, work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, off Friday, Saturday. So normally I have a Tuesday or Wednesday off where I can catch up, and I didn't. But this week I was sick on Tuesday, so I was able to catch up. And I actually ended up watching last week's as well. So I watched last week's NXT and last week's SmackDown. And then I watched this week's Raw, and I watched NXT Live this week, which hasn't happened in a while.
Wow. But I'm always a day late on NXT. I try to watch Raw Live and SmackDown Live, but NXT is... Usually I'm still trying to catch up from Raw because I don't finish it. Because something distracted me, and then I just never got back to it.
My problem is I don't usually have Monday or Friday off.
Right.
So, and like I said, Monday's date night, so it's out the question anyways, because she's not going to want to watch fucking WWE. But, like, if I'm working Friday, by the time I get home, and I get showered, and I get dressed, and I get comfy, it's already, like, 8:45. I'm like, I can't go back now. I'll just watch it later. But
now,
go ahead.
On Wednesdays or Tuesdays, do you feel like? I guess it depends on the day, how the day went. But do you even feel like watching wrestling at that point? Like, if you, by the time you get home and after you're done eating dinner and after you shower, all that, like,
yeah. If
does it depend?
If I hadn't had to call out sick on Tuesday, I don't know what the fuck I would have done, to be honest with you.
Well, that's okay.
But we're here.
We're here. We got a lot to talk about, man. I thought this was going to be the boring time. But no. There seems to be lots and lots of people that want to make noise in the world of wrestling. Since you weren't here last week, that is kind of where we'll start.
Okay. So
there has been a lot of fallout from the recent round of releases.
This might be the quickest we have ever actually jumped into the topic at hand instead of how was your week stuff.
Well, that being said, we got a lot to talk about and two pay-per-views to predict. So.
Because I was going to bitch about my car again, but all right.
No, I'm actually pretty good. But anyway.
Well, it's not about the car. It's about the auto body, but anyway. They pushed my estimated completion date out another 2 weeks, and I'm fucking pissed.
Oh, for the love. Did they give you a rental at least?
No. I don't have rental coverage on my insurance. I'm going to now. I'm going to fucking add it now. If this ever happens, just in case this happens again. But it's already been 2 weeks, and now it's going to be another 2 weeks.
See, I never got the option because my father put it to me like this. You need a car, right? Every day you need a car? Yeah, so what happens if you don't have the car? Get renter's insurance.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't know what happens. If I don't have the car and I miss work, I'll miss fucking going here. Like, no, that's just not going to work.
No. Either taking the wife's car, so she doesn't have a car when she's at work and my dad has to pick her up, or my dad is dropping me off at work and picking me up from work. So I'm just causing hassles to everybody in my life. Which makes me feel like a real piece of shit.
Mike smash.
Yeah. You don't even want to do the What Did Marty Post? You just want to dive right in?
We haven't done it in a while, sure. What did Marty post?
What did Marty post? I had it and I gotta scroll back up now. So Marty Jannetty posted, first on this post was a picture of himself with marker on his face that kind of looked like a clown, but also kind of looked like a raccoon and kind of looked like a burglar. Very strange. But the post itself says, I make less mistakes with my mouth closed. Dot, dot, LOL, dot, dot, wait, what? Greater than, greater than. This girl just swore she's priggant, parentheses, Big Frida, close parentheses, from me, space, dot, 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 PG-13, greater than, coming in her mouth, dot, dot, is that for real possible? Question mark, question mark, question mark. P.S. dash space, yes, I drew on myself, dot, 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 not sure why, comma, comma, LOL. Marty Jannetty, not 100% sure you can't get pregnant from oral sex.
Okay, listen. This one made me worry about Marty a little bit. This one made me kind of pull the, like, maybe someone should check on him. Because, there's a lot that he said there. But you gotta wonder, was it the drugs he used to do or the drugs he's doing now?
And this came a few days after a post that seemingly randomly included a picture of a Troy said cheerleader, I thought volleyball player. But
high school girl.
I hope not. That says,
Dude, that says,
I have to shave my balls, comma, my recent girl has hair in her teeth, dot, 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 I already know this is not a good look for TV, dot, dot, LOL, dot, dot, sorry, comma, true, though, dot, dot, I need to change, dot, dot, LOL.
Okay, the I need to change part is like, isn't that like a call for help? I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. Also, I know it's not good for TV. Is it another? Is it a girl
right?
who's in the business?
Is it at the very least, it seems like someone who's on TV.
Is it Julia Hart? What if it's Julia Hart?
I mean, I can kind of get that from that picture, but.
Also, if it is Julia Hart, I mean, good for Marty, but I don't think it. No. If you talk about Big Frida in the other message, no, I don't think it's Julia Hart.
Right. Right.
Because she wouldn't even have been alive when Marty Jannetty was wrestling. It's not like it's one of those girls, like, from our generation that's like, I had a crush on you. Like, no. No. Marty scares me at this point. I think he's either on a lot of drugs or this is the result of a lifetime of them. Fair? Fair?
Yeah, not wrong. Not wrong. Okay, that's been what did Marty post?
Get that man some help.
We realized before we started that neither of us had whatever the song was that was used for that in the past, so we're making it up!
As Bobby Heenan once said, the guys in the white coats and the big nets are coming for him.
Alright, so since last week, there were two more releases that came down the pike. Ikemanjiro, unsurprising, because, again, what's he been doing? Nothing. And Matt Riddle, which, likely due to the recent issues that he has been going through, but still kind of surprising.
I would like to point out that Jason and Troy spoke this into existence last week when Jason asked all of us, who do we think should have been released? And both those names, Ikemanjiro and Matt Riddle, came up. Now, like you said, Ikemanjiro, it had a shelf life, okay? And that shelf life was like 205 Live. What were you going to do with that, okay?
Pour one out for Jeff.
Now, Matt Riddle, now that's a surprising one. Now, I understand he's had trouble, so to speak, but There's been conflicting reports on all that, because supposedly the girl there, what's her name, Candy Cartwright, is that who it was?
I'm not 100% sure.
The original accuser of abuse.
Oh, way back when, yeah.
While they were together. Yeah. That's what started it all. And I think,
sorry,
she was lying.
The way your accent just flew out there just kind of made me laugh.
I think she was lying from what I've read from different things people have posted, but who knows, right? Who knows? It's just a bad look. And then obviously you have the drug suspension,
yeah.
the violation, the wellness policy violation.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever he started a fight with somebody at the airport, I don't know, but he went out of his way to be like, this person tried to touch me or grab me or something in security at the airport. And then, like, security cameras were like, no, that didn't happen, dude. Why'd you make that up? So, it's weird, though, because this is a guy who was fighting Roman at one point in a huge main event on SmackDown for the Undisputed
mm-hmm.
title.
Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it comes down to, like you said, you list those things off, and eventually you come down to this is just more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah. I think the drug suspension is really what did him in. Like, they know he smokes weed, but, like, obviously that's not what he popped.
I could be wrong, and someone will correct me if I am, but I believe he is the main reason that marijuana was removed from the wellness policy.
Well, I mean, you're telling me they would remove marijuana just to accommodate one person? What? No. What?
Yeah, one person.
Right. they're like, we can't keep doing this. The whole fucking roster is going to be suspended.
Right.
Anyway, it's sad. I liked Matt Riddle. I thought he was funny. I thought he had great timing.
Mm-hmm.
And he connected with the crowd. I think it sucks. And I don't think the act works anywhere else. If he goes to AEW, he's just another guy. You know what I mean? It's just another guy with a drug problem. Let's be honest. Yeah. In Impact, nobody's going to see him if he goes to Impact. So it sucks. And maybe...
Shit, if he goes to AEW, maybe Tony Khan will get him hooked on coke.
Maybe...
Allegedly.
Maybe Matt Riddle cleans himself up, gets help, and gets better. And maybe WWE brings him back in a year or so. We've seen it happen before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or go in the indies and prove your worth just like Cody did. And stay out of trouble. And that's the sad part, is you know he's not going to stay out of trouble.
Yeah, like you said last week, a lot of these releases, and all the ones in the office, all the office releases, are because of the merger. And so, you know, two big entities come together. In the office, it's, you can, you know, a lot of the office eliminations were just redundancies. You know, WWE has...
You already have an HR department.
Yeah, WWE has someone in this position. Endeavor has someone in this position. They come together. They don't need two people in that position, so one of them's got to go.
Yeah.
And then in the shakeup, I think, like I said, a lot of the ones on the talent side were probably just budgetary, and looking at it overall and seeing, you know, when you start out as a new company, which this is, I mean, it's two old companies coming together, but TKO is a new company. There's going to be budgetary concerns. And so you look at the guys that aren't doing anything and be like, "Mwah. Sorry." But like you said, a year and a half down the road, things will even out budgetarily, and maybe some people will come back.
Maybe they'll come back.
And hopefully not Dana Brooke.
Right. But a guy like Matt Riddle probably was making a pretty decent salary.
Mm-hmm. My guy. I would guess, if you had to ask me, I would guess a Matt Riddle maybe 420,000 a year.
That's a pretty good fucking salary.
Did the joke just completely go over your head, or did you just roll
over?
Nope,
I caught it as soon as the words left my mouth. I was like, oh, wait. I got it. Anyway.
At the end of the day at work, we have to gas up the vans. And so we have the credit cards that we have are specifically for this purpose. And so it doesn't even have like a Visa or MasterCard logo on it. It's a fleet card. And when you put it in the thing, you have to enter your driver number, which is specific to you, and you're supposed to enter the van's mileage. Nobody fucking checks that. So nobody stops and goes like, it's 58,164. Nobody looks at it. So every day for the van mileage, I just put 69,420 and I pump the gas. Because it doesn't matter. Nobody fucking looks at it. Anyway.
Anyway. There has been some other fallout from the releases. Some people have not been too happy about being released. I will say there was a good handful of people that thanked WWE and thank them for their experiences and all they've done for them. For example, Elias had a great career retrospective. As he mentioned, he went from the Drifter to having a segment with The Undertaker and John Cena at WrestleMania. Like, you know, good for him. He seemed grateful, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have somebody like Rick Boogs.
I was going to say, are we talking about a certain Richard Boogie?
Now, this was a kind of surprising.
I'm trying to find it again, but... yeah, I'll find it. There it is. This is taken from a Twitter post. Quote, I can say with 100% certainty the removal of Vince killed my career, unquote. Replying to a comment suggesting WWE dropped the ball with him being the, quote, ideal star, quote, pretty much everyone in the corporate side of the company agreed, which is why I was always the third-party guy doing commercials for Old Spice, Snickers, Mike's Hard Lemonade, and Toyota. However, one person clearly has some weird grudge against me, unquote, claims his job in WWE was terminated due to a backstage political power play. Which is funny because later on, a couple days later, one of the pages that I follow on Facebook linked an article where the headline of this story was written to suggest that Rick was blaming Vince, because we all know Vince is still secretly in charge. Boogs was blaming Vince for being fired when the exact opposite is true.
Right. Okay. Well, here's the thing. A lot of people, especially people who are not in the business, they don't understand what it means to be liked by Vince McMahon. Okay? And there's a lot of people that like Vince McMahon. Okay? There's a lot of people that they're company guys, right? So I do not doubt that Rick Boogs was one of Vince's favorites. And yeah, I can see if you're starting to get a push and then the guy who's in charge, who's been in charge for 40 years, has a very unceremonious exit, you might be a little bitter when other people take over.
Yeah. It's nothing worse than a bitter Boogs.
Now, that was good. Who is the person in the office that didn't like Rick Boogs? I bet you it was Michael Hayes. Maybe it was Kevin Dunn. It was probably that fucking asshole Bruce Pritchard. Right? No, I don't know. I don't know. He couldn't be talking about Triple H, could he? The scandal. What if he goes on a podcast and he's like, well, it was Triple H.
don't really care, honestly.
You're not going to miss him?
Not really.
Nah, he
didn't do anything.
Kind of replaceable very easily.
Like you said, he's definitely a Vince guy. He's got the look. He's got a character. He can play guitar. But yeah, he hadn't done any. I mean, it was unfortunate, the injury at Mania, but he hasn't done anything.
Look, I bet the Ultimate Warrior was pissed at Vince getting in trouble for steroids back in the 90s, all right? Because he was like, you just killed my career, man. So I don't know. It sounds like sour grapes. Maybe he's not lying. Maybe there was somebody in the office that didn't like Rick Boogs. God, we've seen it in this company before. But you know, Johnny Ace isn't there anymore, so you were hoping that that kind of behavior went out the window. Yeah. It's still WWE at heart. So, doesn't matter who's writing the show. Anyway, we're not going to speculate who it was. I bet you it was Michael Ace. But... the other person who has been pretty vocal about his release has been a man by the name of AJ Francis. You know him as Top Dollar.
I don't think I have
Top Dollar was not too happy about getting released, and I think he's kind of playing a gimmick to get some interest on the indies right out of the gate. I think it's a smart deal by him. But in this character, basically said that he was trying everything he could. He asked, like, what he could do to improve. They told him, don't worry about it. Then they didn't use him. Then they made him a punchline. He's not wrong. They really didn't give that dude much of a chance. So he's miffed about it. But he's going to land on his feet. Did you find what he posted?
No, I don't have it.
Whatever. Any interest in seeing Top Dollar on another promotion?
Well, considering that, as you well know, I don't watch any other promotions, sure. Let him do what the fuck he wants. I don't know.
He can't go to AEW because he got in a fight with the Bucks on Twitter a couple of years over sneakers. Okay.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
So they, you know them, they're little bitter babies, so they're not going to let him go there. But he can go to Impact.
That's true. They just did the Feast or Fired, so they've got a space.
Oh, God, did they really? I remember that gimmick.
There was a...
Oh, you got the case that got you fired. Sucks to be you.
There was a clip of it on Facebook that was shared in one of the groups I'm in, and so I clicked through it, and I was looking at the original comments, and basically all the comments that weren't, what happened to the X Division title? Were basically, yeah, but we knew he was leaving anyway, so what's he, it's not even dramatic, like, what's even the point?
It's even better. Okay. Anything else from the releases that you wanted to discuss?
Not particularly, but, go fuck yourself, Dana Brooke. But on, the other side of the coin, a big signing happened this week. What's got you smiling like that, bro?
Last time we were on the show together, we actually discussed this possibility.
We did indeed.
At the time, we both really didn't give a flying fuck if she did or did not sign with the WWE. But we were like, anything's possible. Lo and behold, it is official. Jade Cargill is signed with the WWE.
As reported by ESPN, because certainly that's...
And she also already did an interview.
Yep.
Where she was like, I want to be on a bigger stage. this is the fucking major leagues. It was a no-brainer. This is where stars are made.
Kind of shits on that whole thing she said a year or two ago about, they tried to sign me and I passed. Mm-hmm. Going on a podcast or a radio show or whatever the fuck it was and basically saying, this was always the goal.
Okay, but did Tony tell her to say that?
Better? Right.
So, because if you're under contract and the boss tells you to say that in an interview, right? Because it seemed kind of out of left field. When you're done, you can't tell people because of the fucking NDAs. You can't be like, he made me say that. So you just go out there and you just talk about how awesome the WWE is so that everybody knows. Yeah, remember what I said before? Complete bullshit!
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. They went through the trouble of doing the whole ESPN thing. That's a fuck you, right?
Yeah, 100% is a fuck you. I mean, are all you people forgetting who Triple H is? Like, you don't fuck with him, because he'll fucking scorch you. Like, he's done it since his days in DX. He will bury you. He used to do it to wrestlers. Now he does it to other promotions. Do not fuck with Triple H. He will make you pay in spades. Which is why a girl who, from the very first time she stepped in the ring, couldn't wrestle. But she's got a look to her, and she's got some size, and she's got some hype. But they are treating her like they signed Ronda Rousey. Mm-hmm. It is the same type of publicity. And that's good for her, and that's good for them, because they're smart to do that. And it's still up in the air. They said she's reported to the PC, but that doesn't mean she's going to be an NXT character. She might be a SmackDown or a Raw character when she debuts.
I'll let you finish your thought.
But ADHD. My opinion has not changed about Jade Cargill. Okay? I hope she puts the work in, and I hope she gets better. Because she was not good when she started, and she was kind of passable on some nights when she left.
I believe I said something similar the last time we discussed this. I look forward to seeing what she's capable of now that she'll get actual training.
That's fair. And from the best in the world. Let's be honest. The trainers and the coaches they have in NXT are at the PC, rather, not necessarily NXT. But those people are all legends. They are some of the best trainers in the world.
I saw something that was like, Triple H is training her personally. I don't know how much credence I lend to that. But, yeah, like you said, the Performance Center is... We're going to train you to wrestle in a style that does what we do on TV. And so, as opposed to, why, we don't, what, do we, what would we do with a performance center? We don't need that shit. So.
But you know what happens when you design a state-of-the-art facility and training program to prepare people for TV? You know what happens, Adam? You want to know what happens?
People get prepared for TV.
And they look
and
good
they look
when
good
they
on
get
TV.
TV. Yep. Not always. Most of the time. Not always. This. But there are much better results when they do make it to TV and they've been through that work at the PC. It shows. And as opposed to the other company where, you drop somebody on their neck 55 times because that's the best you got. Anyway, I hope Jade gets better.
I had a thought.
That's all I'm going to say. Okay.
I had a thought watching Raw? Watching Nia Jax's promo. Where she just talked about squashing people. Mm. The thought that I had was, what if they brought
Butternut squash?
What if they brought Nia back just to put Jade Cargill over?
Oh, wow. The two people who cannot work go in there and somebody's going to die. That's a great idea, Adam. Why do you hate people? When you bring Jade Cargill in,
I will turn this podcast around, mister.
The first person that she debuts with does not need to be Nia Jax. No. You either go with Natalya, as much as I don't really care for her, but at least she'll keep her safe. You either go with a Natalya, or... Huh?
The Natalya fucking Tegan Nox thing this week was just... Oh.
I know. Or you go with maybe... I'm trying to think, because you need somebody that... She's not like she's a pretty giant person, so it's kind of difficult. You don't want to put, like, Tegan Nox in there with her, because it just won't look right. Do you put her with Charlotte right away? Or do you worry that Charlotte would, like, be like, who's this? Yeah, I'm not going to work with her. I'm going to sandbag her.
Has that been a thing Charlotte's done in the past?
That's what the accusation is, that when she doesn't... When she's not into a feud, when she's not, like, 100% committed, she starts sandbagging people. I've heard that discussed in other podcasts that we both listen to. And I'm not saying that's true, I'm just saying that's the talk.
Sources. I heard it on a podcast.
About the same as Meltzer's sources. Anyway.
Yeah, and those aren't good. Thank you for making my point, shitface.
Anyway. So what do you think? You think they put her with, like, a Charlotte or somebody who can work?
I don't know if they do Charlotte right away. Charlotte's a big thing. So, I mean, it would certainly work in terms of the exposure that they would want, that they seem to want, given the whole announcement situation. But, I don't know. My thought was just if you go through and you have Nia fucking run roughshod as Nia's going to do, and then just have her debut and beat Nia. Like a fucking Samoa Joe what's-his-nuts situation. And then we can never hear from Nia again.
Samoa Joe.
On NXT. What the fuck was that guy's name?
Oh my god, we never heard from him again.
Jason's yelling at his phone right now. But
this guy showed up. He had vignettes.
He had vignettes for weeks.
And he showed
up
and Joe
gets his shit kicked in by Joe Samoa Joe and then fuck Pierce.
I'm gonna find it.
Somebody's gonna yell.
You keep talking about who you want to see Jade fight and who you think and where you think she debuts.
For some reason I see her on SmackDown, which totally negates my whole Nia Jax thing, but yeah.
I see her on SmackDown because it's Fox Sports. We get
well
it.
For now.
I get
it's,
the connection.
It's Fox for now.
Well, she can be traded next year, or they can do another draft.
The thing I'm most looking forward to about SmackDown moving to USA is not having to see those fucking Fox News commercials on SmackDown anymore.
Sure. But again, we could be wrong. She could be in NXT, but I feel like when you get the ESPN signing treatment,
right?
Is she gonna debut at Survivor Series? This is like what happened when they signed Sting, and nobody knew when Sting was actually gonna debut, but he had been signed for like 6 months.
My favorite part of when they signed Sting was that they signed Sting, and it was like they signed Sting, and then somebody, quote unquote, leaked. Oh no, it's just a Legends deal for these commercials and the video game.
Mm-hmm.
And then he appeared at whatever fucking that was. and everybody lost their fucking shit. And it was great.
That's true. It was great.
All right.
Oh, it was Dan Matha.
Yeah, Dan Matha, there we go. Let Nia Jax get Dan Matha. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Except for she's already been here on TV longer than Dan Matha.
Make Nia Jax Dan Matha. Anyway, SmackDown.
Anyway, oh, and by the way, obviously the big money match, athlete for athlete, would be Bianca versus Jade.
Of course, many people are looking forward to
but,
that.
But, you know, I think that's like a WrestleMania. You don't do that right out the gate. You save that. So, we'll see. We'll see what they have planned for. I don't think... If they start her in NXT, I think it's a smart move. I don't know if putting her on SmackDown right away is a good idea.
Yeah.
Because then you might get an Omos situation.
But like I said...
And I'm being dead serious.
Like I said 2 weeks ago, whenever the fuck it was. She's not going to... excuse me. She's not going to go 101-0 in WWE.
No.
So she's going to be in a company that... Hear me out. Knows how to book. And can work to her strong points. And can perhaps disaccentuate, it's not a word, I don't care, disaccentuate her weak points. And I feel like as much shit as we have given her in AEW, I feel like a lot of that was AEW.
Okay. That's a good possibility, but let me ask you this. Do you get her a manager? Do you get her a manager?
Nobody has a manager anymore. although
Paul Heyman.
I feel like no. She's not in the bloodline. I feel like she would fit very well into Metaphor.
I thought you were going to say Bobby Lashley.
But they'd have to call it Meta 5. Or they'd have to kick someone out.
I mean, they can kick out Lash Legend. That would be much better.
Oh, you're saying they just trade one black chick for another? Fucking racist?
No, I'm saying Noam Dar is irreplaceable. I kind of like Ormensa. And Jakara Jackson's too new. So, bye Lash Legend.
Yeah. I mean, we've been saying that forever anyways.
Yes. So we look, we're optimistic and we're intrigued about what Jade's going to do in the WWE.
Speaking of the bloodline, how do you feel about this big John Cena return and what could possibly be Cena's last regular appearance in the company? Just getting tied in with the bloodline story as opposed to having his own thing.
You know, the writer's strike ended. They're talking about the SAG strike ending, the actor's strike ending pretty soon, which means John Cena will be back to work, which is actually... the reason he's been away from the WWE so often for so many years at this point. Mm-hmm. Now it used to be just a couple of years. Now we've literally been 5 years of barely seeing John Cena. I do tend to agree with you that...
You barely see me.
This whole feud with the bloodline does seem like a waste of time for John Cena. Not going to challenge Roman, and who cares if he fights solo? Rather see John Cena do what he was doing with Grayson Waller.
Right.
Instead, he kind of got pushed to the side, and it's like, no, Jimmy Uso, it's just me, Us.
Wrong. That's the wrong Uso song.
That's the wrong song. That's the better song, right? I knew. I fucking said this was going to happen. I fucking said that after Roman beat Jay, he was going on vacation, which well-earned. Okay, well-fucking-earned.
That's the other thing.
Let's be honest. If anybody deserves a vacation, it was Roman Reigns.
That's the other thing. Is you're putting Cena into this story
without
Roman.
So I saw a theory.
So yeah, the idea of Cena and AJ as a team was cool.
Is out the window.
Yeah, well, yeah, because AJ got murdered. But against Jimmy and Solo.
Also, they have slightly hit a wall creatively with the bloodline, because they keep doing this thing where Jimmy does whatever he wants and Solo does whatever he wants and Paul Heyman sits there and goes, but who gave the order?
Yeah, and Jimmy seems to think he's in charge.
But when Roman comes back, there's not going to be any repercussions for any of it. They're going to just completely forget all the past 3 months that happened. He's not going to be like, Solo, why'd you attack AJ Styles? He's not going to give a fuck.
I feel like something will happen with Jimmy, because they're making a big deal of Jimmy acting like he's in charge while the big dog is away.
But Jimmy's the reason that Roman retained against Jay, and Roman put him over in that promo and said, I owe you one. And then Jimmy called him an asshole.
No. I don't know.
And probably super kicked him 5 more times. Anyway. Yes. Okay. We're putting the cart before the horse, but AJ Styles got taken out. Whether he was the original plan or not, it's still up for debate. A lot of people said it was a red herring to get someone else in there to be John Cena's partner.
I'm sure it was.
Which, I don't believe this to be true, but there is an idea floating out there that Cena's going to show up at Fastlane without a partner, and then a certain someone is going to fight his own cousins in the main event of that show. Which would then set us in motion for the much maligned, much talked about, never happened but should happen match between The Rock and Roman Reigns. Do you think it's possible The Rock is Cena's partner and this was all done on purpose?
I mean, anything's possible.
Sure.
We've discussed this off pod. The whole Roman Reigns versus The Rock idea. I don't know how I feel about it. The match itself is certainly intriguing. And if it happens on day 2 of Mania, that'll be cool. But it's a match that I don't want the title involved in. Because if the title is involved, Roman's not losing.
And if he does, it makes no fucking sense.
And if
like, why would he lose to a guy who's 50 years old, hasn't been in the business in 8 years?
And if Roman's not losing, is he going to carry the belts for another year until 41, and then Cody will take it off? You know what I mean?
No, I saw a fucking disgusting graphic the other day. Night 1, Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins, World Heavyweight Championship. Night 2, Rock versus Roman Reigns, Undisputed Championship.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all. I'm going to say this right now. As much as I pop for The Rock coming back, no. If you're going to do something like that, and even though I wouldn't see it, and it's a shame because, of course, the one time I pick Night 2, you know what I mean? The one time I go to Mania. But if you were going to do something like that, you would, in my opinion, you do Cody versus Roman on Night 1. and you finish the story.
Right. That's the other thing about that.
If Roman doesn't have the title, then you can do Roman Rock Night 2. And Roman can complain that he's doing two matches in two nights and blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. It works on all levels.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Plus the fact that if Cody wins the Rumble and goes for the World Heavyweight Championship,
everybody's going to be like, why?
It's not going to mean a goddamn thing.
No. No, not at all.
Because you've already got people calling it the Cody makeup belt.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll just solidify that. That's not a bad idea. Because that was my other thought, is if because you're not going to have the Universal title not defended at WrestleMania.
No, that's impossible.
So that was my other thought, was how do you get the belt off Roman before Mania?
And how do you make it big enough? So you do, that's why you do night one, yeah, Cody.
That makes sense.
He gets the moment, he finishes the story. Night two, it's just about Pride, and maybe it's the tribal chief them on the line.
Yeah.
But the last thing you'd want to do...
Sean, do you think he can get us tickets to night one at this point?
The last thing you want to do, if you have built up the greatest title reign of all time, because that's what it is at this point. I understand Bruno had it for 8 years, but it was nothing like this.
Yeah, you can't. You can't end that title reign with a fucking part timer.
Yes, exactly. You can, especially a guy who's 50 years old. Like if it was Logan Paul, you might have a little bit better of a case. But the Rock,
no, I'd still hate
50s.
That.
I would also hate that. But at least it's a young guy. You know what I mean? The Rock is like 10 years older than Roman. Why would, if Roman's in his prime, why would he lose to a guy who hasn't wrestled in 8 years?
This would also be the second long ass title reign that The Rock has ended as a part timer.
And that's not cool either.
Right.
anyway, and it looks fucking childish and fucking directionless. Like, oh, let's just put it on The Rock because he's available this year. Like that would be so dumb. So you're going to throw out 3 years of storytelling just because The Rock's available.
And you fucking think, you fucking think Roman didn't defend the title a lot. Oh.
Well, that's the worst part. Rock's not sticking around. So yes. He would be like, he'd show up at like King of the Ring and then like King of the Ring. Like it's fucking 90.
Rock would be like, I got to film a movie. I'll be back in 6 months.
Yeah.
I'll defend, I guess, I'll see you for SummerSlam.
Anyway. Let's not this wouldn't be the first time that we've all speculated that The Rock was going to do this at Mania and The Rock was going to do that at Mania, and then The Rock didn't do jack shit. So let's not forget that either. He might have been back just because they were in Colorado that one night.
Mm-hmm.
There's been no indication that he's like back.
That's fair. But we'll see. We'll see what happens on... No, not Saturday. Saturday's NXT.
Friday night. Well,
I
yes,
think.
But Friday night SmackDown, we still have to answer the question. John Cena needs a partner. And we'll see if we get any more information about it.
We'll see.
Or John Cena's going to take him on by himself. Imagine if it's literally just John Cena versus Solo.
And he wins.
How boring will that be?
Yeah.
All right. Sticking with SmackDown, what do you want to talk about from SmackDown?
I started. What do you want to talk about? What's next on the docket on your end?
In my opinion, what's next on the docket? Let's see here. Ooh, let's talk about Bobby Lashley and his might be short-lived affiliation with the Street Profits.
I do have that note here. I will say during that tag match, the spot of Dawkins dragging Montez out of the way of Ray's little slidey splash was genius, because I don't think we've ever seen that before.
We've never seen anybody be dragged out of the way, and now we know why, because of the splat that Ray made when he hit the ground.
But yeah, are we splitting the Profits and Lashley already, or is this the turning point to the new Vicious Street Profits?
The new and improved and Vicious Street Profits? Yes. That's exactly what this is. This is the turning point. This is the put up or shut up time. And it's good because maybe turning the Prophet super heel immediately isn't that believable. Maybe you do have to have them kind of like, well, you know, I don't want to cheat, like, da da da. And then you played it out perfectly because Bobby laid into them. And they stood there and they took it because they knew he was right. And he just ripped them apart and he was like, give me back the suits, give me back the watches, I'll go find somebody who actually will pull the trigger. And they stood there. They didn't fight it. They didn't argue with them. They just ate it. And I think next week they are going to beat the living shit out of Rey Mysterio. Or at the pay-per-view or something like that. They're going to hurt people, and this is going to be good. Because they're going to show Bobby, okay, you know what? You're right. Let's make this, like, and make this for real. Or Dawkins is the one who doesn't change his ways.
That was the other thought I had. Is this finally the split? But I don't know that I like that.
It would be, in my opinion, it's bad timing if that's what they did. Because you don't want Bobby Lashley's new group to be him and Montez.
Right.
What? That's the whole group? And you feud with Dawkins? No, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
Now, even if you have Braun Strowman ready to come back, that's not good enough. No, I don't want to see that. So hopefully, well, maybe Dawkins just needs a little more convincing. Maybe it turns into a Jimmy and Jay Uso situation, like how Jay was down, and then Jimmy returned, and then Jimmy was like, why are you down? And then he's like, you gotta be down too, dog. And he's like, all right. Yeah, that's pretty much all the convincing it took Jimmy to join the Bloodline originally.
This has been Dramatic Recreations with Sal.
All right, what's next?
So 2 weeks ago you were lamenting the fact that Isla and Alba were in the dark match before SmackDown, and now they've got got themselves a vignette. So
yes,
quit your bitching.
I'm happy about it, and I'm actually kind of not hating the idea that they cursed the NXT the women's tag titles. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, art imitates life, I guess,
yeah.
Because everybody's been talking about them being cursed because people legit get hurt every time they win those titles. But I kind of like it. They're turning it into a gimmick.
We can retcon it. It doesn't quite work for Sasha and Naomi, but we can retcon it.
How do you know that's not what that's not the spell that the Isla Dawn and Alba Fire used was to get them just to vanish into thin air?
It's a time travel spell.
Hey, they're witches, man. They probably have a whole book full of spells. Yes, I'm excited. Let's see where that goes. That looks pretty good.
On a similar note, I thought the women's title matches on SmackDown this week was really good.
My little cute daughter, the one who went to wrestling with me.
The one who loves Asuka, yeah.
Yes, she was dying to watch that match. She didn't really care to watch the rest of the show with me, but she was like, can you just fast forward to the Asuka? I'm like, that's fine. I get it. You really want to see that match. She was super disappointed that Asuka didn't win. She was wicked impressed by the video package they did beforehand. But she was also, like, super disappointed, but she also was like, but Io's so good. I get it. I do get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what more could you ask for? Although, she was definitely annoyed by Charlotte and Bailey's presence, and I can't say I agree. Because you don't need all that friggin' overbookness, but that's what they went with. How do you feel about that? I thought the match was good. I thought it was really good, but do you think they overbooked it a little bit at the end with Bailey and Charlotte and Dakota? And
I mean, you know, you got damage control there. I guess somebody has to counteract them.
It is. And now we get Bailey versus Charlotte. Last time ever. No, probably not. Remember they did that for Orton and Cena? They legit had a last time ever match. And it was like the Hell in a Cell on pay-per-view. And they were like, we've done everything else.
I vaguely recall that being a thing.
Dude, it was like in 2014 or 15, like way after they had had, what was it, 55 matches on
pay-per-view? Right.
It was legit close. It was something ridiculous. Anyway.
Match 62. This one's for all the marbles.
I enjoyed Grayson Waller teaming with Austin Theory. In fact, that match was pretty good.
Hear me out. Mm-hmm. Greytown. Down.
Nice. They've been going with A-Town Down Under. No. That's what Corey
also
and
good.
Michael Cole have been saying. Oh, no, wait, it's not Corey and Michael Cole. Yes, no, it is. It's Corey, Michael Cole, and Kevin Patrick. And Ken, Michael Cole always makes fun of Kevin Patrick, and it's kind of sad. It's like that whole, you know what he's doing? He's doing what JR and King used to do. That's not nice, Michael Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking asshole. All right, anything else from SmackDown?
Sal, are you Elton Strong?
Like the great Olivia Rodrigo once said, God, it's brutal out there. I died at that reference.
What made me laugh the hardest was it was pretty much right at the beginning. You've got Kit in the foreground talking to the camera about how brave and the heart. Meanwhile, in the background, Elton is in the fucking hospital bed and he's trying to reach for something and just falls out of the bed. Holy shit, I adore Pretty Deadly. Oh my God.
How smart of them is it to let them do this while he's hurt?
Last week in the wheelchair.
Oh my God. He's got a separated shoulder. Everybody keeps saying it and they're just like,
That was the other great part is them talking about all the trials and tribulations and what he's had to go through, and then they just cut to the nurse. He has a separated shoulder. So good.
It was. Yeah. And it's so fucking entertaining. Let these two keep doing that stuff.
Oh my God. Yes, please. Yes, please.
Yes, boy. What else we got from SmackDown? Anything else?
I don't have anything else from SmackDown.
I can't think of anything else from SmackDown. Who did
This is when Sal consults Cage Match just in case.
No. Who did Grayson Waller and Austin Theory fight? Just remind me of that real quick.
I will remind you as soon as I remember.
Well, let's move on. Should we talk about Monday Night Raw?
Let's.
Monday Night Raw was fucking good this week, man. Holy shit.
So what do you want to talk about? You're really enjoying yourself, aren't you? Tegan Knox showed up.
Finally, about time.
And got bitched at by Natty and beat her in like a minute and a half or something.
She got bitched at. Well, first she got bitched out by Becky. It looked like a motivational talk, but look deeper. Becky was kind of like, you know, she's kind of like, what the hell's wrong with you? I know, I don't know. So then,
I know, I don't know.
That's kind of the vibe Tegan was given when she tried to explain why she let Natty cut her in line. Ugh. And then Natty was like, I'm going to cut you in line anyway, because I'm Natalya Neidhart, and my uncle's Bret Hart. And then,
if I may quote from my notes here, oh, fuck off, Natty.
So we get another Natalya match. At least this one was under 3 minutes, so it was fucking serviceable to give Tegan Nox a win on TV. So I'm happy about that. They're not calling her the girl with the shiniest wizard anymore. They modified it. I forget the modification, but it's more PG. But I'm glad Tegan Nox got a win. And there is a slight problem with this, though. Becky said, "I will," you know, the winner gets a shot at the NXT title. So that means we already know that Becky's going to beat Tiffy, huh?
Not necessarily.
I mean
yes,
that's
but
kind of the thought.
Yes, but not necessarily. All
right, go ahead.
It's just echoing a thought from another podcast that we listened to. I needed this to be more, because you're just bringing Tegan Nox back. You're giving her this segment to kind of re-debut, to reintroduce herself, because she's been gone for a while and people may not remember who she is, or you've got new viewers who don't know who she is. Mm-hmm. It's a match for a title shot, and it was like a minute and a half.
A few weeks ago, Kofi Kingston had his first match back after being out for a while, first singles match. And they let that dude out there for, like, 15 minutes. And it was great. You needed exactly that for Tegan Nox.
Yeah.
You need the crowd to see how good she is.
Right. You need to give her a chance to show why she should be the contender for the NXT Women's Championship. Mm-hmm. And not just, all right, well, I beat Natty, so I guess I'm going to fuck you up.
Granted, I get it. Natty is a boring wrestler, so nobody wants to see her wrestle for that long. But in this situation, it would have been fine, because you would have given Tegan that sympathy of getting beat down throughout the whole match, but then she hits moves here and there, and then she strings them together. You needed a big comeback for Tegan.
I mean, ideally, it would have been, this whole thing would have involved someone other than Natty, but yes.
Exactly. However, okay, so we have Tegan Nox. She is endorsed by Becky, and she seems, well, she is getting a title shot, allegedly next week. So 2 days after the NXT Women's Champion defends or wins her title,
right,
they will have to defend it on Raw against Tegan Nox, right, which I'm definitely looking forward to, and maybe that's where we get the 20-minute match.
Mm-hmm. But I like the idea, if Becky does win on Saturday, which, spoiler alert for predictions, I think she will. I like the idea of reintroducing Tegan in this way, having her beat Becky, and then go down to NXT as women's champion.
Interesting. Becky is one of the four horsewomen. It's been rare that any four of those women lose to somebody on pay-per-view that's
so
not at their level.
Bayley is one of the four horsewomen.
Right.
You see how she's been doing with damage control the past however long
and
it's been?
Now.
They lost a lot.
Typically Charlotte, Becky, and when she was here, Sasha. Like, I can see Becky giving her a really great match in a long match. I do not see Becky losing the NXT title to Tegan Nox. In fact, I can see her losing it to Lyra Valkyrie a lot sooner than Tegan Nox.
But Becky also doesn't need the NXT title. The NXT Women's title.
Yeah, but they're promoting this whole NXT Women's Championship World Tour coming to a town.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
No, no, it doesn't. And I agree Becky doesn't need it, but...
And that would make it all the more surprising.
Oh, I'm with you for the surprise. I just... dude, it's been a long time since they surprised me like that.
What?
Typically, we know how this goes on TV matches. Same thing. Look what happened with Gable and Gunther. Yeah, there was a chance, but we kind of knew.
Well, that was because there was a record to be broken. But...
Sure. That's true. Eh, you never know. It's the NXT Women's title. It is possible. It's not like you got just Rhea losing on a random Raw. That would be completely different. I do get that. And like you said, Becky doesn't need it, so.
But no, go on. Keep shitting all over my idea. It's fine.
I mean, I could be like Nia Jax and just squash you. I don't like that we fed Zoe to Nia.
Mm.
I'm not even that big of a fan of Zoe, but I thought the fact that she, you know, finished that feud and that partnership with Trish by punching her in the face, I thought we were doing, you know, we were ready to do some good things with Zoe.
Yeah.
Try some stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, she just comes off as a jobber babyface now.
Is she even a babyface?
Supposed to be?
If she's teaming with Shayna?
Who's also supposed to be a babyface. She was the babyface in that Ronda Rousey feud. Mm-hmm.
I don't know
either, but I don't like I said, and it was a squash. It's exactly what Nia said it was going to be. It was a fucking squash match. Also, Nia yelling at Michael Cole is just...
Yeah.
Like, no one cares.
No. No.
Terrible.
No.
That was one of the very few low points on Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a high point. Let's talk about a guy who did have a star-making performance on TV. I understand he's a star already. Everybody knows his name. But Dominic Mysterio went out there, and he tore the fucking house down, and he had the match of the night with Dragon Lee.
Mm-hmm.
As good as Dom has been as a heel, this was by far his best singles match in his entire WWE career.
Sure.
Fuck, even Michael Cole put it over, and that dude don't put over anything.
the guy who called the cage match a match of the year candidate on pay-per-view certainly doesn't put over anything. But...
What cage match?
At the last PLE. Fucking Trish and...
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. Like, usually when he doesn't like you as a character, like Dominic, he's like, oh, that little shitbag. But, like, direct quote. Well,
then you need to be more specific.
But he was like, even I have to give credit where credit is due. No, it was great. It was fantastic. And I kind of like how Dom won, because he didn't cheat, but he actually did cheat. But it also could have been an accident. Dumped him right in his nutsack. And then he hit a frog splash.
Right.
So, fucking great, man. That, to me, was a star-making performance.
Yeah. Agreed. Earlier in the night, speaking of the Judgment Day, we had more dissension. But if Damian Priest had just run down to the ring with Finn and JD and Dom, then it would have been 4-on-4. And he wouldn't have had to run down a minute and a half later as the three were getting their butts kicked by the four, and then only to get his own butt kicked by the four. So it's Damian's fault.
To make a long story short, for anybody who maybe didn't catch it, your typical WWE opening segment, Cody comes out, then Dom comes out, then Dom gets his backup, Finn and JD. And then Cody's like, I'll fight you by myself. But then, you know, no, because that's when Sammy and KO show up, and then Priest shows up, and then Cody shows up, and then we have four.
Cody shows up when he started the show?
Jey Uso showed
up. No, wait, that's not Cody. Jey Uso, that's right. Sorry. And like you said, Finn and Dom and JD rush the ring, and Priest kind of like, yeah, I don't want to. I'm scared of all four of them. So he doesn't.
It wasn't even that. He was like, I'm not fucking doing what JD McDonough says to do. He's not the boss. He's not even in this group. You don't even go to this school.
So he goes down there and he gets the shit kicked out of him.
Damian Priest, as much as I love him, is being a whiny little bitch boy about JD McDonough.
He really is. And he runs down there, and of course, the three of them got their ass kicked, so they're laid out. So all four of the baby faces surround Priest and give him a very baby face beatdown, if there's such a thing. And then Priest goes in the back, and he's like, JD, you aren't with us. Ah, you're fired.
Like, I saw that show on MTV. Babyface beatdown, wasn't that? Anyway.
Sure. So he. But, oh, by the way, Finn, who is best friends with this guy for 20 years, right? Just sits there and goes,
Yeah.
Sorry, man. Guess you're not with us.
Right. But, hear me out on this, okay? Mm-hmm. Follow me here. What's Jimmy's color?
Red.
What's Jay's color?
Blue.
What's the Judgment Day's color?
Purple.
The Judgment Day is going to reunite the bloodline.
No!
That's why they've been fucking with them on all the shows. They're gonna get their family back together. If it's the last thing, they
just split them up. And it's only one person who split for them, please. Anyway, lo and behold, JD McDonough proves his worth at the end of the night because
yet again
he saves Priest from losing the tag belts.
Mm-hmm.
Which, here's what's going to happen. Priest will lose the tag belts because he'll do something where McDonough's trying to help him and then fucks it up. And then Priest is going to be like, I don't even care about the tag belts. I have the fucking Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah.
And then Finn's going to be like, hey, you said you cared.
I did appreciate in that tag title match, though, Kevin Owens doing the Shawn Michaels jumping fisticuffs taunt and the suck it. Classic. I wrote this mostly in jest, but I can also see it happening given the current feuds here. Jey Uso is going to be the next NXT North American champion, isn't he?
No. He's far past Dominic. That's not. Dominic is fun and he's a great heel, but he is not on the Cody level, and Jey Uso is on the Cody level. Jey Uso could easily challenge Seth Rollins at like a Royal Rumble or even a Survivor Series. It could happen. Because I think for Cody, I was wondering, what are they going to do to get him to Mania, especially after SummerSlam? For me, the thing with Cody was after the Brock feud, what are we going to do so people don't get bored? And I've said that on this show before, and this week they showed a little bit of their hand, and I think it's going to be against a heel, Drew McIntyre. Because McIntyre took a subtle shot at Cody in his promo, and then proceeded to beat the living fuck out of Kofi Kingston. Shut up, Miz! It was a good match, but McIntyre won when Kofi was distracted because Ivar came down there and beat the shit out of Woods. Mm-hmm. So, how do you feel about a heel Drew McIntyre versus Cody Rhodes? Because I think that's money.
Yeah. It'll be a great match, too.
Especially for the next, like, 3 months.
Sure.
Do you think Drew jumps Cody, and that's how we get a heel turn? Or do you think, like, they're forced to tag, and then, like, he just, like, jumps him in the match or something? Pulls a Shayna on Ronda.
I mean, we've been talking about it. He's basically been turning heel for the last 3 weeks anyways. Yeah, I mean, if he keeps making kind of vague shots during promos, and then maybe eventually he gets called out on it, Cody calls him out and Drew just beats the shit out of him. Yeah.
That's perfect. Cody can take a shot of his own in the next promo, and then out of nowhere, fucking Cody's like on the stage later, or he's at commentary, and Drew just snatches him up and beats the fuck out of him. And then, they kind of did that with Brock. But, I mean, you could still do it.
Cody, that's fine. Cody's just like, hey, hey, hey. Clay less, all right?
Drew goes ballistic.
In my notes, I wrote false... oh, sorry. Were we done? Do you have more on that?
No. Okay. That's good.
In my notes, I wrote falls count anywhere. What I meant to write was last man standing. I think, unfortunately, we don't get a Shinsuke Nakamura victory at Fastlane in this fall. In this last man standing match. But I do think we get a cash in. This seems.
First of all.
Yes.
No. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's being a last man standing match and being Seth's bad back and what we saw after the match at Payback. This feels to me like it's just being written to end in a cash-in.
First of all, I agree with you. 100%.
Thanks. You interrupted me to agree with me. All right, that's new.
But I just wanted to get that out of the way first. Let's take a moment to appreciate that this might be the most genuine, natural reason to have a last man standing match.
Mm-hmm.
Seth's got a broken back. Shinsuke is going to punish him and mutilate that back. And when...
Shinsuke wants to literally be the last man standing between the two of them.
And if Seth's back is so fucked up, he is actually going to have a problem standing. And that's going to build, I guarantee you, that's going to play into the drama, and it's going to be one of the best last man standing matches we've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think because of Seth's back, there is a chance Shinsuke wins. But regardless of who wins, because they will beat the shit out of each other for a half an hour, this is going to be easy pickings for Senor Money in the Bank.
That's fair. But honestly, the way this character has been, I might be a little disappointed if his title reign is only 94 seconds long.
I mean, that's fair.
Because this character, as we've discussed over the last month and a half, this character work of this new badass Shinsuke Nakamura has been fucking fantastic.
I loved it. I think it's some of the greatest work he's ever done in the main roster, by far. But I wouldn't necessarily hate it if he does win the title and Priest cashes in. Because at least he can say he won the title. I know, fucking Yokozuna type of title reign, but still. That's the WWE champ, or the World Heavyweight Championship. That's not a title he's never held before, so... I mean, there's only been one holder of that title. But you know what I mean? He's never won a world title in the WWE, so... This would be a big fucking deal. What I don't want to see is I don't want to see Seth retain and no cash in. Because, God, that would be boring as fuck.
Yeah, that's fair.
And you know, we're in that time of year where you tend to get lazy booking like that. Remember the whole Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan thing after SummerSlam that year? When Orton and Bryan fought and there was like a no contest and like the belt was in abeyance. Like, they get lazy around this time of year because they focus on the Rumble or Survivor Series.
Plus, if Seth wins and doesn't get cashed in on, where the fuck do you go from there? Because you've already spent the last 2 months telling us about his broken fucking back. You can't just be like, okay, I'm going to challenge Drew McIntyre now, and everything's fine.
So, if you publicly said you have two broken vertebrae in your back, character-wise, and Damian Priest watches him go through hell with Shinsuke and doesn't cash in after the match,
right.
He's a moron.
Yeah, and especially because we were saying this exact same thing last month, and they didn't do it last month. They better
fucking
do it this time.
Yeah, but now at least, okay, now it's going to be brutal enough that it warrants a cash-in.
Right.
I think also, real life, Seth is going to get some time off.
Oh, yeah.
And this is probably it until the Rumble.
You better. He's got a broken fucking back.
That's what I mean. So, if you want Seth Rollins healthy for Mania, and you know that the back does have to be fixed, whatever it is, right? God knows how serious it actually is, but you can't stretch him out for another 6 months. You have to give him the next fucking 4 or 5 months off.
Right.
And you got to start that soon, because we are on... Fastlane will be the first weekend of October. Let's fucking hurry this up so we can get him back for like a Mania.
Mm-hmm.
I will be I will be so disappointed if Seth retains and just walks away with the champ. Does that make any sense?
Anything else, Mara?
I like the idea of Chad Gable keeping his eye on Gunther, but I don't know how I feel about how that makes Ciampa's challenge look. Because Ciampa is the next challenger. They're going to do a contract signing next week. But when you have Gable being like, I'm watching you, it's like, does Ciampa really have a chance?
Give Ciampa a chance.
Do you think he can beat... Do you think they would book him to beat Gunther?
No,
me neither.
It's gonna be Chad.
What do you think
It's gonna be Chad.
Possibly.
It's gotta be
What do you think about the... my God, they took what worked in the Bloodline and they spun it and they did the exact same thing in Imperium. Now, Ludwig is responsible for Giovanni Vinci. Just like Jay was responsible for Sammy, or the other way around. I think it was Sammy was responsible for Jay, whatever. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about like all this dissension in Imperium?
I don't like that Gunther is the only one in Imperium who wins.
All right. You're not wrong. And I don't blame Gunther. I'd be pissed too. Like, what the fuck? But that's the thing. Once you start going down this road, I don't see this, like, magical redemption of Kaiser and Vinci, and they're going to be some awesome, non-stoppable force. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
no, they're going to keep losing to further the story.
It also does not fit with the character of the gimmick for them to always lose.
That's right. That's a fair point. If Imperium's going to be a dangerous...
They're fucking Imperium.
Yes.
The mat is sacred. Dominant. Giovanni Vinci should not be a fucking goof.
Or a loser.
I also don't know how I feel about fucking Fabian Aichner or Ludwig Kaiser chasing after Maxime. They seem to have kind of come back from that a little bit, but
I know we did it again this week. It might be a thing that they just keep doing, but it.
So less.
I can totally see Maxine turning on Chad and Notice and going with Iberian.
Nah.
No. Nah. I can see it.
So last week.
But the problem is you need somebody to fight Ludwig, and if you have Chad fighting Gunther, that doesn't work. So. But go ahead.
So last week, Lucky Pro had its first show at the Lemonster, I think it was Fitchburg, Lodge of Elks.
Okay.
And they ended up moving us into the downstairs hall because the upstairs hall was being used for a wedding or some shit. Like it was. But this is like the room where they have all the meetings. Mm. So it's got. It's got like chairs along the sides, and then at the front, I guess you could call it, of the room, there's a little raised section with a table platform lectern thing. And I made a joke, like it has a mic, one of those gooseneck mic arms on it and everything for whoever leads the great elk to speak. And I made a joke that I was just going to put the mic in that clip and just do the whole show from standing behind that desk. And I also was standing up there going, "Ladies and gentlemen."
Oh, that's amazing.
But it was great. I had my own. I was up behind. I felt like Judge Wapner. I was up behind the little thing, and I had the whole. I was raised up just a little bit, and I had a whole table situation.
Oh my God.
It was fun though, even though the lighting was shit.
Oh. That's
it was a little dim. It was a little dim once the sun went down. But what can you do?
And what are you gonna do?
I think next.
Sometimes you wrestle in a dark bingo hall. It happens.
I think in November we're actually gonna be up in the upstairs function room. So
the better function room, the one that we use for wrestling, typically. I don't want to be in the basement. Anyway. Anything else from Monday Night Raw?
No, I got nothing.
All right. Then should we talk about NXT?
NXT. Mm-hmm. So we had our finish to the fuck were they calling it? The Heritage Invitational...
The Heritage Invitational Tournament of Champions? I don't know. Something like that.
So we start the night with the last match from Group B... Whatever fucking group it was.
No. We start the match with the winner of Group V versus the winner of Group A. We start NXT with Pete Dunne versus Joe Coffey. You're looking at your notes.
That's right. Last week was the... No, remember, I watched both of these episodes on Tuesday, so...
You're okay, right.
All right, so... At one point, kind of somewhere... I think I feel like it was towards the beginning of the match, but... Booker calls Joe Coffey Joe Gacy, and Vic corrects him, and then immediately calls Joe Coffey Joe Gacy. Also, were Metaphor dressed up like they were at the Kentucky Derby this week? Was that the theme this week?
I don't know the gimmick. I was sad that I didn't know the gimmick, because I was very...
You were impressed with the Matrix last week.
Yeah, I was very impressed with the Matrix.
I didn't get this.
And this one looked nice, but I have no idea what the fuck they were trying to be.
I thought it was Kentucky Derby. I'm not sure. Somebody will let us know. I'm sure.
Yeah, and lo and behold, Butch won.
Yeah.
Well, I cannot figure. Wasn't gonna be Joe Coffey. So
yeah, and Butch Dar should be for a Heritage Cup match. Will at least be mildly enjoyable.
We just had a fucking month of a tournament of a Group A and Group B style tournament of good matches and good contenders, and we get to ruin all of it because it has to be a Heritage Cup match.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope people in England like this. I hope they're being like, this is awesome. Because if they don't like it, then why are we doing this? I'd be curious to know if they enjoy the Heritage Cup matches, or if they're like, nah, get this shit off my TV. Because it is something from like the 70s. Anyway. What else you got for
me? He's barring. He's bar. You're buying. I'll give him credit. This, the pull apart between Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin actually kind of felt real this week. Good. Because I think the manufactured chaos of those first few haymakers that Bron was throwing actually looked like real trying to make contact punches. The problem was there were times when I had issues discerning who was security and who was Bron Breakker, because Bron Breakker was also dressed all in black.
It's true. No, but that was a fun little segment. And it just, you know, it does great for Breakker. Because he looks dangerous. He's wild. He's uncontrollable.
You say fun little segment. It lasted us the rest of the night, but we'll get to that in a bit because I have some comments on the ending of this episode. From fun little segment to less fun, not so little segments. I really didn't need to see, didn't fucking care about Tony D'Angelo's dinner party.
But you're here, your family.
Where do white people go to eat SpaghettiOs Olive Garden? I didn't make that up.
Okay. None of it made sense. They're like, we're not here for dinner, but then they're like, eat dinner, and they're like, all right, we'll eat dinner.
No, but it was.
Oh, we're not gonna eat dinner with you. So they should.
No, but it was funny because Brutus asked if this was the same restaurant where that one guy got food poisoning, right as Umberto was about to take a bite. Ha 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 ha! I did not need four of these fucking segments to announce a fatal four-way tag title match at No Mercy.
No, that was the restaurant up the street. Come on. Every segment was like, I just wanted to get the tag title shot. I don't really want to eat dinner. And they're like, no, fucking eat. Look how much food. Eat it. Okay. I guess I'll get my carbs today. Like...
Reminds me.
And then at the end, they're like, oh, we're not going to pick one team. We're just going to make it a fatal four-way. How stupid, and this is a recurring theme with D'Angelo's character, how stupid does it make them look that they're like, no, we want to fight three teams at once.
Yeah, right.
It's our choice. It's our dinner. Oh, hey, Bronco Nima and who's the other guy? Bronco Nima. And Lucian Price. Okay. Which scripts?
Who only got invited to the dinner after they won a match.
Right.
Against whoever the fuck it was, I don't remember.
So they... they're about to pick a fight with Tony D'Angelo, but... good thing Tony D's got his 80-year-old uncles to back up. I'm sorry, that's supposed to be intimidating? Five fucking 60-year-old men show up on the stage and they're all, like, fat and, like, slow and they're like, who's making a trouble for my grandson?
I know how to get the horse head. If you notice, so Tony decides it's going to be a fatal four-way, and then says, we got all your favorite drinks, so whatever it is, whatever the toast is that he says. I don't think OTM had drinks.
Tony and Stax had wine.
The Creeds had milk.
The Creeds had milk. Umberto and Angel had, I think, margaritas. And, yeah, Bronco and Lucian had nothing. Nothing but anger.
That's stupid. This whole... it was too long. Because, like I said, it was... Because each fucking team got their own fucking entrance to this stupid dinner. And each one was a separate fucking segment. And then we had a fifth segment to announce that it's a fatal four-way. I don't care. All of this could have been done in the ring in a minute and a half. I don't care.
So, I'm found myself in a very interesting position with Tony D'Angelo. I like Tony D'Angelo, and I like Stax, but I haven't liked their stories.
Right.
Since, I don't know, week one? Like, even the whole thing with Legato, like, I remember being fucking pissy about that because it didn't make any fucking sense for, like, a good 3 months. And don't even get me started on the shit with the Coffey Brothers. It just seems like every time I watch a fucking cliched Tony D'Angelo segment, I don't laugh, and instead I get very bored or very upset. It's not good.
It's, yeah. I don't know.
At the beginning of the segment, Stax was like, hey, boss, why'd you invite everybody here? You gonna whack them?
This literally could have been in the ring. Tony and Stax call out the three other teams.
Let's make it a fatal four-way.
And say, we're not going to pick any of you. We're going to pick all of you. And that's all you got to do. I don't need fucking 20 goddamn minutes. This dumb shit.
Hey! Angelo's in the back. He's got the pasta. He's got the gabagool going. Sit down. Have a bite, huh? I'm trying to watch my carbs. Ah, sit down. Have some pasta, huh?
Hey. That's a spicy meatball.
Your favorite wrestler was back on TV this week. Him and his sister, mother, daughter, niece, everybody else in the crowd for him. Mr. Eddie Thorpe.
Why is he my favorite wrestler?
Because you said he was hot. You did. You said he's hot, but.
Yeah, but I did appreciate Dijak whipping Eddie Thorpe in front of his family. I thought that was a fun little, that was a nice little touch. But ultimately, Dijak loses again.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why are they gonna? Why they gotta keep doing that to my boy?
Look what you've done to my boy. During the match, I enjoyed Dijak healing it up in front of his family. That was a nice touch.
Just like 9-year-old niece.
Oh my god. It reminded me of Izzy. It really did. But it was like worse because he's like beating the shit out of Eddie Thorpe with a belt.
All it needed was for him to point at her and be like, this one's for you.
Oh! And then they cry and they bury their head in their mother's like arms, making kids cry. Dijak in NXT,
and it's funny because, as we've discussed, I know Dijak, and yeah. I know what he's like, and I know how much of a family man he is. And so you know that after the show, they went backstage, and he was like, "You okay? You know there was
nothing like about him." And plus,
sorry to ruin the mystique, everyone.
A lot of people probably think it's mean to put a kid through that torture, but I don't. It's part of life. Look, if you grow up in the business, okay, they're gonna have some fun with you sometimes. She'll be fine. She'll work it out in therapy.
Right.
I used to watch my uncle get beat up with a belt. It's all just a show, darling. Don't worry. None of this is real. See, they can't say that in an AEW show. Jon Moxley bleeds all over the front row. Anyway. Ooh, did you hear Mello in his promo? He said, "I'm not like those other jobbers you faced. Not like those other losers like Noam or so-and-so or Trick." Oh, damn it. So, we'll talk about it when we talk about predictions, but something's going to happen at Trick Mello Gang this week, isn't it?
Maybe.
This weekend at the pay-per-view. Maybe. It's not looking good.
So Trick Williams wins a match against Joe Gacy in sudden and quick fashion, and then goes to...
I think it was supposed to be a rising knee.
Yeah.
But he kind of ran into Gacy's face like chest first.
And then he goes to Shawn Michaels' office and gets himself added to the North American title number one contender triple threat match. Now, I thought I could have sworn that we just had a North American title number one contender match like 2 weeks ago, but I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know what you're talking about. We've never had a number one contender. Nope, the last number one contender was Dragon Lake. That was the last person. There's been no one at all in between.
And I was all ready to sit here in my notes and be like, "Oh, look, the guy who lost to the old number one contender in that old number one contender match is now the number one contender." But, he already had his match on Monday, like we talked about. And now Trick Williams is your number one contender for the North American Championship. In a very fun fatal four-way match. I loved the finish. I thought the finish was brilliant. Once again, we get the airplane spin giant swing combo from Tyler Bate, and once again, it doesn't make any goddamn sense. But
especially in a fatal four way,
right? But no, I love
just asking you to get kicked in the face by Trick, aren't you?
I love the Trick one. I like that it was basically an accident. And I look forward to the match on Saturday, which I'm not going to get to watch live, but that's okay. We'll get to the other part of it later during predictions, but I enjoyed this whole story. And then, you know, they had a little chit chat backstage, and Williams didn't seem to notice that Mello had name dropped him during the. That came after that. That was right before that happened.
That came after that, yeah.
So, it said we're both gonna leave. Where the fuck are they? Somewhere in California, with Gould. Trick Mello Gang as champs.
So, the minute Trick Williams got added to that match, I was like, "Oh, so Trick's winning." That's cool. That makes sense. Him versus Dawn. When they did the finish, my instant reaction, in a good way, was, "Holy shit." Because I was like, this is going to play into what happens next so much because he basically won by accident.
No.
This is going to have such a fucking profound effect on what we do next. And it can go so many different ways, and I fucking love it. Like, because Mello could call him out. Like, they could do a backstage segment at the show and be like, yeah, I mean, did you win? Like, did you really win? Like, I mean, some of us, like, are actually defending our title tonight, and some of us, like, kind of got lucky. I don't think Mello does them like that, but it can definitely be hinted at, you know? And, like you said, we'll get into it when we get to predictions, but, man, I feel like they're weaving a beautiful story right now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about Dragon Lee being added as the special referee for Trick versus Dom. Because I don't want... If Trick wins, I don't want it to be because of Dragon Lee. And if Trick loses, I don't want it to be because of Dragon Lee. But why else would you have a, would you put a special referee in that match?
My opinion, Trick is going to lose because of Dragon Lee. I don't know how, and, you know, that shouldn't make sense because Dragon Lee, theoretically, should be there to cost Dom the title.
Right.
But somehow Dragon Lee is going to fuck up. And it's not even going to be, like, his fault. It's going to be, like, his mask gets turned backwards and he's just like, ah, one, two, three. But it's going to be a situation where Trick gets fucked over. That's my opinion. That's okay. My gut feeling is that Trick's going to get, he's going to have him beat. Like, maybe Dragon Lee gets knocked out, like typical ref bump spot, and Trick hits him with a finisher, and he has Dominic down for three, and there's no ref to count. That could be a very easy way for Dragon Lee to cost him the match, because Trick can be like, yo, what the fuck? You were supposed to be the ref. I had him, you know, where were you? Well, you kicked me in the back of the head. Well, I was aiming for Dom's face. Why'd you get in the way of my kick?
Yeah, I don't see any reason why there's a special referee in this match. And it was announced so nonchalantly.
Yeah. All signs point to Dominic retaining.
Yeah.
Because of Dragon Lee. One way or the other. And if you're Trick, it's going to piss you off, man. You had one fucking chance. Boy, are you going to be pissed off. I wonder just how pissed off he'll be.
There was a vignette of a dude watching TV, watching some football, and then switching over to WCW Saturday Night.
I'm glad that's still on. What channel's that on?
And I had no idea what the fuck was going on, but according to Troy, this is Brian Pillman Jr.
So, rewatching it, because it went right over my head.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, the first thing that the man sees on TV is a news report, which is probably the one from when his father was dead. And then we go kind of backwards, because then he goes to an old, old Bengals game. Definitely from, like, the late 80s. And then we go to WCW Saturday Night, which, if I may, nobody made themselves a star more on WCW Saturday Night than Brian Pillman. Not only the stuff he was doing with Jushin Thunder Liger, but a couple years after that, the stuff the Hollywood Blondes would do on Saturday Night was great. I've watched a lot of it because it was the only wrestling that was on Saturday Night at 6:05. And that's how I was first introduced to Brian Pillman, was WCW Saturday Night. So I don't know where the character goes, if it's just, hi, I'm Brian Pillman's son, Brian Pillman Jr. Like, I hope there's more to it than that, but I guess we'll see. Do you think he's bitter? You think he's watching those clips being like...
Well, I don't think he can be less interesting than he was in AEW, so there's that.
That's true.
So...
Think he still has the mullet? He gotta have still have the
mullet. I think, yeah. I think that's his, that's a trademark.
I like how when we look back at the 2020s of wrestling, we're gonna be like, he had a mullet, and he had a mullet, and he had a mullet.
There was a spectacular mullet at the Lucky Pro Show. On a fan or a wrestler? On a wrestler.
Fella, okay, that's fine. That's passable.
Fella I'd never worked with before. A fella named Troy Locke. And I'm quoting here, Mr. Party in the front. Oh, no, business in the front, murder in the back.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at the mullet making a comeback. Anyway.
Big fan of that. Speaking of vignettes, last week we saw JC and Thea go shopping.
Shopping.
And this week, we got the debut of the new Thea Hale.
The new vicious
Thea Hale. in the backstage segment with Chase and Duke, with the little black dress, if you will. Mm-hmm. And JC saying, oh, you just wait till you see her new ring gear. How quickly do you think Jason and Troy's pants just disintegrated when Thea Hale came out for that match?
It's a little gross because both those dudes are in their 40s and she's 19. I'm just saying
19th legal.
I understand it's legal. It's not exactly moral, but that, you know, that's fine.
What's moral, anyway?
We can have a whole fucking episode about that. No, I'm not going to claim holier than thou. She looks hot. However, and I do say that.
Oh, that's gross. You're in your 40s and she's 19.
Andre Chase pulling a Ned Flanders when he saw her outfit was probably my favorite part. Duke Hudson looked more like a realistic college kid's reaction. But I do like how Andre Chase was like appalled. Now, here's the thing, though, and I thought Thea looked really... vicious in her match with Danny Palmer.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if I'm buying it. Like, crazy, angry Thea Hale. So she's like the female Pete Dunne?
She's a woman now.
I like how they said that. I like how Booker T literally said that. She's not a little girl anymore, Vic. She's a woman now.
She has her period and everything.
Maybe it leads to a big Thea Hale remembering how awesome Chase U University is, and then she turns on JC Jane and it's like, no, I'm going to do it the right way. I don't know.
She's getting hair in new places.
But no, it's good. It's good for now. We'll see where it goes.
Breasts.
I don't know what does JC Jane really add to this gimmick?
Sorry, I tried so hard not to laugh at that one. JC's the evil temptress. She's the Jezebel, if you will. if we jump back 30 fucking years.
Now playing the part of JC Jane in a much better role suited for her is Cora Jade. Much rather be Cora in this position. Makes more sense. JC's just like...
I don't know, Cora feels too young.
JC doesn't have a character to me. JC's character, ever since she kicked Jeezy in the head, is, I'm JC Jane, and I'm a bitch!
Yeah.
She's it's been done.
Corrupting, dear sweet Thea. I'm sure Nathan Fraser was happy, though.
That's true.
Nathan Fraser's like, I may have lost the Heritage Cup tournament thing, but...
Fair enough. What else we got from NXT?
You see how fast Anything? You see how fast he runs to the ring. You should see how fast he runs to the bedroom when she puts that on. Now I'm being gross. What else from NXT? Oh, what else from NXT? Let's talk about our show closing segment, shall we? So, Baron and Braun. I'm sad that we didn't get. I thought I got so excited for like 2 weeks because they were actually putting them together, and I thought Baron von Braun was gonna be a thing. But no, nope. Braun done got his head smushed in, and is in
Vaughn.
And, yeah, that's what I meant. And is in the hospital according to Robert Stone. Speaking of vignettes, we didn't fucking need. Anyway, parking lot, the most dangerous place in NXT.
In all of wrestling.
Baron is leaving, and we're talking to him, and then he gets jumped, and we brawl some more. And we brawl back into the building through a door that... this whole thing makes no fucking sense. Through a door that leads to a corridor that's blocked off with pipe and drape that leads to a wall. So this is a hallway to nowhere.
I would also like to point out that this was after the contract signing segment with Dragunov and Mello, which I thought was the end of the show.
No, it's a surprise. It's kind of a surprise. So we go down this hallway to nowhere. And Baron takes a fire extinguisher off the wall that looks like it's just hanging on one of those hooks that you screw in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he throws that towards Braun, and the camera shakes cooperatively. And then Braun tackles Baron through this fake wall. into what might be the fakest looking office I have ever seen in professional wrestling.
It was pretty bad.
So Shawn Michaels' fake office has this one wall that we've just busted through, has another wall with a door on it. We'll get to that in a second. And then two walls, quote unquote, that are just pipe and drape. Because you know how offices are with their two walls that don't exist all the time. But Sal...
It's under renovation. That's all we needed was that sign.
But Sal, answer me this simple question, if you would, please.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every time we have ever seen anyone go into Shawn Michaels' NXT office... from the outside, including earlier in the evening when we saw Trick go into Shawn Michaels' office. I went back and checked. Sal, what does Shawn Michaels' door look like?
He has his name on it and its logo.
It is a brown wooden door with a window that has blinds on it. Yes. And his logo on it.
Yes.
When Baron tackled Braun through this wall, what did Shawn Michaels' office door look like?
I believe it was white.
It looked like all the doors in my frickin' basement. It was this goddamn basic ass white hollow core door with those little beveled inserts that you buy at the Home Depot. It was so bad.
Like we said, under renovation.
It was so that they changed the door out in the last 40 minutes.
You know, tonight was the night they scheduled the door change. So that's why we had the drapes up, and we had to knock down some walls.
It was
fortunately, that wasn't supposed to be used. And then Braun and Baron just fell through it. Like the fucking Shockmaster. Actually, that's what it reminded me of. It kind of reminded me of the Shockmaster.
That's Shawn Michaels' office book, The Fuck It Is.
I'm like, this is getting kind of lame.
Yeah. That was so bad. That was the worst looking fake room I have ever seen in professional wrestling.
The whole situation didn't need to happen. You already did a pull apart early in the night. But you should end your go home with the champ and his challenger. Not fucking Corbin and Braun.
But that's how mad Braun Breaker is, yo.
We know how mad Braun Breaker is. Look at him. He's always mad. He's just like his fucking uncle.
That's how bad he's going to fuck up Baron Corbin on Saturday.
Who cares? It's Baron fucking Corbin. Of course he's going to fuck him up.
Is that match falls count anywhere? Because it feels like it should be at this point.
Look, I'm all for Braun Breaker beating the fuck out of Baron Corbin. But just tell me when the next Braun Breaker feud starts. Because of course, what are you going to have fucking Corbin win? No, of course you're not. It's fucking Braun Breaker. You shouldn't even be down there. You should already be fucking tearing shit up on fucking SmackDown. But here we are.
I didn't mind the brawl.
No, the first time. Then they fucking ruined it.
No, I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it at the end either because it made sense. It was just a little surprise, a little cliffhanger tag to add to the end of the episode because it's the go home episode for No Mercy. But
like you said, it came off cheesy as fuck because of how fucking lame they put. The lame effort they put into the set.
They could have cut it off. When Baron went into the building, or they could have just fought in the parking lot for a little bit and then cut and then ended the episode. It went on too long for an episode ending sudden shock segment. It went on too long.
It shouldn't. It should be one of those quick like, well, we'll see what happens on Saturday.
We gotta go. We're out of time.
Yeah,
and it was. And it looked goofy as fuck.
That's true.
To the point where in my notes I wrote in all caps, not that fake wall into that fake office.
Also, I'm warning you about this. You might want to mute Trick's entrance at the pay-per-view. Because Booker T gets way into that shit. Like, way too into that shit. He's up there dancing on the fucking table. He's like, yeah! What? Uh-huh!
So he's like Pat McAfee, but shitty.
Yes, and Vic called him out on it. He was like, wow, I haven't seen you this spry in years.
Spry, that's a good word. It's a good word that doesn't get used often enough.
It's true. Yeah, that's all I got from NXT.
Well, yeah, we talked about the end of the episode, so I believe.
I mean, there was some stuff in between with Gigi and Blair Davenport, but I mean, look, I like Blair Davenport. I think she's very talented. I just don't think they're doing jack shit with Gigi Dolan right now. Yeah. What can you do?
Now, I know you like when it's just the two of us because you don't have to watch AEW, but do you have anything on AEW this week before we get to the predictions?
I didn't watch this week's episode. I didn't get a chance to, and...
But it's the go-home for WrestleDream!
So the only thing I will mention from AEW...
Which is a stupid name for a pay-per-view, by the way.
Oh, it's terrible. The only thing I will mention, to the point where it's so bad I didn't think it was a pay-per-view. I thought it was one of their stupid little themed episodes. Uh-huh. where they wrestle on clouds. Anyway,
I knew so little about it that the other podcast that we listened to was doing their predictions for it. I was like, what fucking event is this? What are they talking about?
So I will mention, because it's worth mentioning, I guess on Dynamite last night, Adam Cole came out there and said he broke his ankle in three places. Now, who knows if that's true? I didn't see the segment, so I couldn't read it, or what, you know, couldn't read his reactions or anything like that. Couldn't get a handle on what they're going for. But there's also some secret guy who stole the devil mask from MJF, and I guess he's, like, causing trouble. I don't know. I didn't watch it. Don't fucking murder me. All y'all skipped AEW a bunch of times, okay?
But it's a new era, Sal. It's going to be a new era for AEW.
They have errors every week. They don't need any more than once. Really? You didn't even freaking laugh at my errors joke?
Yeah, because it wasn't good.
Whatever.
Go to run.
But, so there's rumors like who's behind the devil mask. Maybe it's Adam Cole and this is all a ruse. We'll see. I really
like the emphasis you put on the word ruse. Point your browser windows to rundownwrestling.com. You'll see the two prediction polls that we have to do here today, right at the top of the page underneath this episode.
Oh, I'm surprised they didn't go fucking all the way and just have that that painting where God touches a human being, but that being Danielson and Zack Sabre Jr. instead.
So we start with Wrestle Nightmare. Hope you like tag team matches, you fucking mark. Put your name in the thing. You know what to do here.
I would like to point out that this is booked like a secondary or third tier pay per view. This is not.
Well, yeah, they got to start doing that now that they're going to. They got to start doing that now that they're going to be on Max and have 12 pay per views a year. So I mean, come on. Singles matchup first. Daniel Bryan's Danielson versus Zach. If I was a spice, I'd be flour. Sabre Jr. Nice. If I was a spice, I'd be flour. Flour's not a spice. But I get it. It's not really a bland spice. That's what makes it a spice.
Who you got?
Oh, fuck if I know.
Wait. They're in the state of Washington.
And I'm in a state of not giving a shit. Fuck it, Daniel Bryan.
Of course! Do you understand the reaction he's going to get in front of his fellow Washingtonians?
Yeah, especially when he's crippled. Singles match, Wangman Adam Page versus Swerve Strickland. I'm sure the build for this has been amazing.
It actually, Swerve's been pretty good. Swerve's been kind of roasting Hangman, but Hangman, I heard, got some revenge this past episode.
Yeah, I'll go Swerve.
Swerve's great. I hope he wins. I'm going to go with Swerve. Even if I don't think he's going to win, I'm going to go with Swerve.
AEW Regional Tag Team Championship. Forever Toting Rifles defending against Anal Open. The team of Kyle Fletcher and Mark Davis. Sure, FTR retain. Who cares?
Yeah. Forever Toting Rifles.
Handicap match for ROH Municipal Tag Team Championship. Literal top champion not defending belt again, but this time it's a handicap match defending against The Righteous. Dinsent and Vutch. Sorry, Vutch. Gotta make sure I pronounce that correctly.
Close enough.
Dinsent and Vutch. They're cops!
It's really, really, really fucking stupid to have the world champion retain the tag titles against two guys 2-on-1, right? That's really fucking dumb.
Yeah,
right?
Which is why they'll do it.
Yep. I'm going with MJF retaining the tag titles, because we need to keep this shit going. And granted, if Cole is really hurt, yes, I can see him losing, but not in a handicap match.
Everyone loves six-man tags, but let's not book the trios champs. Chris, gotta steal someone's heat, Jericho, Kenny Omega, and his boyfriend versus the...
Don't say that. Don't. I don't know the... No, just because... That's...
Troy, explain yourself.
It's because of what Sammy Guevara said that time about Sasha. Which doesn't make him that. It just makes him a horrible person.
It also doesn't make it make sense for the other two. William Ospreay, Samantha Guevara, and Konosuke Takeshita. It's Jericho.
Oh, so I should preface this and let you know. Sammy turned on Jericho after he lost the match.
Oh, shocking. Who could have seen that coming?
Joined the Callis family. And Callis is here to ruin all of his Winnipeg relationships at once. And they put a target on Kota Ibushi's head. So
that's
made
I'm still,
Kenny
I'm still
all
gonna,
mad.
I'm still going to vote for Jericho.
No, I'll go with the Callis family.
Okay. 2 out of 3 falls match for the AEW TNT Championship. Christian Cage defending against Dickless Allen.
Darby also from Seattle. So here's the thing. Why is Christian Cage in this match? Isn't Luchasaurus the champ?
I feel like I heard
He actually...
I feel like I heard somewhere that Cage actually won the belt.
Oh, did he? If he did, I missed it. But I believe you. They probably had Luchasaurus like lie down for him or something.
No. I'd look it up, but I don't care.
So then, again, he doesn't need to fucking win the TNT title again for the fourth time, but what else are we going to do with Darby? I guess he wins it.
No, I'm going to go with Christian. Right. Random ass match, Ricky Starks versus Wheeler Uterus. Sorry. Random ass match!
There it is.
You're not going to give me the guitar stings? You suck.
Let's go with Ricky Starks.
You gotta be the one who goes, meow, meow, and you're not gonna fucking do it. Yeah, it's too late now.
Hey, that kind of spot you have to plan beforehand. You can't just drop that on me.
Are you too high?
Alright. I wasn't ready for the meow, meow, okay?
Too fucking high to do the meow, meow. Ricky.
No fucking way Ricky Starks loses against Wheeler Yuta. I'd be so fucking mad.
Oh, well, you're going to be mad, my friend, because they're burying the fuck out of Ricky Starks because he likes Jade Cargill on Twitter.
Possibly.
ROH Cracker Barrel title in the Strong Fatweight Championship. Eddie Kingston versus Catsup Shibata.
Okay, let me give you a little bit of background.
It's
Eddie Kingston.
So adorable that you think I care, but go ahead.
Eddie Kingston just won the Ring of Honor world title from Claudio last week.
Mm-hmm.
He did it at their Arthur Ashe show.
Yeah.
The ROH title
slam
that he's been chasing for 25 years.
Yeah, he wins.
Right?
Now that it doesn't fucking matter, he won it. Yay, good for him.
And yet he's not defending that belt. No, he's defending the New Japan Openweight Championship?
It's not for both. This seems to make it sound like it's for both.
It's not. I'm pretty sure it's just for... You know what? Let's double check that. Let's take a quick look at that, because I'm 90% sure it's just for the Neverweight Open Championship. AEW Wrestle Dream card. Okay. 411 Mania. Says that. Oh, okay. 411 Mania is saying it's both.
Oh, Sal was wrong again.
Two singles titles and one match makes sense. Why would they do that? When has anybody ever defended two singles titles in one match?
Kurt Angle did it.
Other than when you do like a U.S. Intercontinental, let's hang them above the ring because we're going to combine them shit.
No, Kurt Angle did it in a triple threat match.
Yeah, a triple threat where there's two people who can win two titles, not a one-on-one.
Well, you didn't specify, did you, fuckface?
This is stupid. Eddie Kingston retains, because who gives a fuck?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, with the ROH title on the line, I'm saying it, the one who's actually works for
right.
The
if it was okay. Just the Never Open Championship, I'm like, oh, he's going to lose like a fucking loser.
Obligatory women's match for the Hoes Championship, Chris Statlander defending against Julia Shart. Do you remember when Bret Hart first signed up for Twitter and for whatever reason couldn't get the name Bret Hart? Someone was squatting on the name Bret Hart, so he decided to add his middle initial. Bret S. Hart. So there was a period of time where you could find Bret Hart on Twitter by going to @BretShart. It's like Donald Glover. You know Donald Glover, right?
Yeah.
The actor / rapper. For a bit, his Twitter handle was Don Glover. Or, depending on how you read it, Dong Lover. Anyway, Chris Statlander retains.
Yeah. She's actually been doing some good work, so no reason for her to lose to Julia Hart.
Number one contender for the AEW tag titles, because that's a match you have on a pay-per-view. The Young Cucks, the Guns, the Lucha Bros, but one of them also has a singles title, or Pockets and Shorts. Thank you for sticking your tail in my mouth as I was talking. Pockets and Shorts.
Pockets and Shorts, Cassidy and Hook.
You are neat.
They've been hanging out recently.
Okay.
And it's funny because they both are like lazy and don't care, and like Cassidy will talk and Hook will just be like,
yes. Yeah, but Hook's hot, so it's okay.
Some people would say Cassidy's hot. Probably a bunch of 12-year-old girls, but you know.
Can I help you?
Pay attention to me!
Literally. I'm going to go with Cux. Why not?
It's FTR. Let's go with the Guns. Of all fucking people.
Click that submit button. And enjoy that little Easter egg that Troy wrote in there as the thank you for submitting message. And then you're going to have to scroll up to find it, because once you hit that button, you're going to be in the middle of the No Mercy predictions. But then so scroll back up, and we'll go to the No Mercy predictions. And once again, put your name in the thing. And we start here with the British Biscuits match for the NXT Two Guys One Cup. Noam Dar defending against Bitch.
Four fucking weeks of television. 4 weeks of determining a tournament winner. For the number one contendership, for the Heritage Cup, and it's all going to be for nothing in Noam Dar retains.
Yup.
Bad, bad.
Bakersfield, bad. That's where they are, Bakersfield. I kept wanting to say Berkeley, and I'm like, no, that's wrong. Bakersfield, California.
I would love it if Butch won, but not really, because it's the Heritage Cup, so who cares?
Yeah, see him carry that out on SmackDown? I don't fucking think so.
Yeah, but I was going to say, but also, he's on SmackDown, he's in a tag team with Rich Holland. I don't see him winning the fucking Heritage Cup.
Nope. Nope. Nope.
It's not exactly something convenient to carry around when you travel between Florida or wherever SmackDown is.
Fatal four-way tag team match for the NXT Tag Team Championship. The Family, Tony D'Angelo and Stax Lorenzo. Oh, God, I have the burps. OTM, Lucien Price and Bronco Nima, The Creeds, and Los Lotharios, Umberto and Angel.
You know what's going to annoy the shit out of me?
What?
All this fucking smoke and mirrors and all this fucking...
Sorry.
For the Family to retain.
The Family are going to retain, yes. singles match, Braun Cora Breaker.
Gahoy.
Baron Corbin.
I'm going with the Cora Breaker.
I thought you were going to say, I'm going with the Corbin. Yes, Braun is going to win that. Oh, that's right, we forgot to mention. It's an Extreme Rules match for the NXT Women's Championship. Rebecca Lynch versus defending against Tiffy Time.
So not only do we already know that Miss Rebecca Lynch is going to fight Tegan Nox on Raw.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, sure.
She's going to fight the champion.
Becky was the one to challenge the winner of Tegan and Natalya. No mention of anybody. Anyway.
The champion is going to be Becky Lynch, but she's going to fight the champion.
So, yeah. But now, Tiffy gets to get the living shit kicked out of her in an Extreme Rules match. God, I hope this doesn't make her quit.
It's not going to be that extreme.
No, but it will have a kendo stick. That's almost a guarantee. And those shots do not tickle. Mm-mm-mm. We're about to see Becky about to test how tough Tiffy really can be.
NXT North American Championship with Dragon Lee as referee for some goddamn reason. Dirt Sheet Dom Mysterio defending against Trick Williams. You said your piece earlier.
Real quick, how are you voting for Becky versus Tiffy?
I said it.
You said Becky?
Yes.
Okay.
That's it.
Yes. Dirty Dom Mysterio, in my opinion, retains.
I want Trick Williams to win so badly. Because I think he's beyond due for a title of some kind. But like you said earlier, the fact that Dragon Lee is the referee here just kind of fucks everything up.
Seriously.
But just to be different, because we've both been the same so far, I will vote with my heart and not my brain, and I will go with Trick on that one. Finally,
I hope you're right, because it would make to me it's perfectly fine for Dominic to lose that title, especially to a guy like Trick, who he's starting to make waves on his own. He needs this to really get the crowd behind him. Not like they aren't already, but this will solidify it. But unfortunately, I don't think he's going to get it. Mm-hmm. I think they love that Dominic is such a little shitbag and that people tune in to see him on NXT.
Right. And finally, your NXT championship, Caramello Hayes. Oh, Caramello, delicious. Versus Ilya Dragunets. Carmella retains.
I will never pick against Carmella. It's not going to happen. But
fucking Homer.
If Trick was bitter enough to cost Carmella his title, I would understand. Now, Trick could also be bitter and jump Carmella after his match, which might make more sense, because then Carmelo has his next challenger. But it would be difficult for me to see them having Dragunov lose twice, especially if there's no shenanigans this time.
I'm going to pistol whip the next motherfucker. This is shenanigans.
So I'm going to pick Carmelo, but I'm not feeling good about it. I'll tell you that much.
Okay. Click that submit button on there, and thank you so much for participating in our prediction polls. We will obviously have the results next week, unless Square shits the bed again. Anything else before we depart?
Once again, we have wrestling on Saturday and wrestling on Sunday, which is a good weekend for wrestling.
Mm-hmm. I have a show Saturday, and I'm working Sunday, but I wouldn't be watching the show on Sunday anyway, so.
Fair. So, I feel that No Mercy is going to be a really good PLE.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Wrestle Dream is going to be a mostly forgettable PLE.
But, like a dream, like, you know.
Yeah. But we might have a debut or a return, probably a return, because you know Tony can't help himself. Now, if I had to put money down, sounds like they would just put Wardlow back on TV, and that's what would get the pop. But there's also, of course, talk that Mercedes shows up. Again, she's hurt, so who cares if she shows up? I mean,
no,
Paige
man.
Isn't on the card, but... I'm sorry, Saraya.
No, man. Adam Copeland, bro, is going to show up. He's going to fill in. He's going to be MJF's tag team partner. He's going to be one half of the tag team champions. Fucking Adam Copeland, bro. He's going to debut Wrestle Dream, bro.
Highly, highly doubt
fucking
it.
Fucking Adam Copeland, bro.
Also...
I don't know where that voice came from, but that's my new internet mark voice. Fucking Adam Copeland, bro.
Nice. So, not only do I doubt
also,
that
happening...
Also, I apologize
to anyone who was wearing earphones during that.
But what a waste of time if he was to debut in that match. Why would you come in to help in an ROH tag? No. God, yeah, that's how you make an impact. I'm going to win the ROH tag titles.
Fucking what? Adam Copeland's the devil, bro.
Oh. You know
he's
going to
help
devil?
Christian retain a title, bro.
How great is Christian Cage? I'm not sure if you've seen much of it other than clips. But Christian Cage's heel work. Man,
I saw the little video
funny.
That you shared that you texted me.
That was amazing.
I like that in 2020... I do have a certain appreciation that in 2023, Christian Cage is still using the knockoff Evanescence theme song.
But it's just, to me, it's hilarious that he is such a little shitbag talking about, you know, people losing their fathers and friggin' him wanting to sleep with Nick Wayne's mother. Like, it's kind of old school hilarious to me. It makes you wonder just like, oh, God, how low is Christian going to go this week? And it's funny. It's kind of funny.
Play the Christian Nimbo. That sounds like the worst Sunday school event of all time.
Quite possibly. Yeah,
line up, kids. Line up, kids. We're going to do the Christian Limbo. No touching.
Leave room for the Holy Spirit. Anyway. What from No Mercy are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, golly. Honestly, probably the main event, to be fair. Because Carmella can fucking go, Ilya can fucking go, and it should be, just like we said the last time, it's going to be a fucking banger and a half.
I'm really looking forward to Melo Dragunov, too. I'm also really looking forward to Becky and Tiffy in an Extreme Rules match. I do want to see these two beat the fuck out of each other. I hope it's a great match. And I wouldn't even be mad if Tiffy won it back. I'd be fucking completely fine with it. Low-key match I'm looking forward to, though, also, that I do want to bring up, is this whole Dominic and Trick thing. Because we just saw Dominic... have a great match with Dragon Lee.
Dark Horse, for sure.
And we know the Trick can go. And I'm looking forward to this. I'm hoping they put on a show.
The tag title match could be decent, or it could just be a fucking clusterfuck shit show.
It could be a typical Fatal 4-Way clusterfuck show. So... And with the Fatal 4-Ways, it's tough, because that's what they do. Spot, finisher spot for all four people, and then the finish.
So,
That's all I got this week, buddy.
Alrighty. So, thanks for listening, everybody. And thanks for going to go and make them predictions. Alright, you gotta do that. Don't forget. It's very important. Alright. And, thanks for hanging out there, Albert.
Thanks for having me. Like you had a choice.
Well, I mean, you know. I mean, them other guys is doing, like, dead shit or something. I don't fucking know. But, here we are.
Copeland, bro.
Not doing... Here's the two of us not doing fucking sports or nothing. So, you know, here we go. It is what it is, you know? It's almost 12:30.
What's more likely to happen, by the way?
We're losing our minds.
Damian Priest walks out of... I know we'll talk about it next week, but more likely to happen. Damian Priest walks out of Fastlane as the World Heavyweight Champion, or The Rock shows up to team up with John Cena.
Damian Priest.
That's the more likely one?
Yeah.
Wow. So I guess we're getting that Cena versus fucking Jimmy and Solo 2-on-1 match. Whoopee, that should be...
I didn't say Cena wouldn't have a partner. I just said it's, in my mind, it's not likely to be The Rock.
So you're saying his partner's going to be Edge?
fucking Edge, bro. He's coming back, bro. I got the fans. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Well, I guess that means that
you're sitting on my mouse. Fat fuck. Move over.
Well, I guess that means that we'll sit in your mouse next time.
Bro.
Bro.